So it's just after the first Cornwall Chamber of Commerce business breakfast of the year, January at the Penventon. Kim Conchie, the chief executive, is with me. And you've been talking about the lobbying and the campaigns you want to be running. The first thing you mentioned was connectivity, roads, trains, airport and broadband.
Yes, indeed. I mean, you know, one of the things which annoys people in business in Cornwall is how little is spent on infrastructure to support businesses here compared with, say, those poor people in London and the South East. It is something ridiculous, like a hundredth of the amount is spent in London than it is with us. So we're lobbying very hard and not letting the government renege on its promises made, in fact, before the election in some cases, to make sure that the A30 is dualled all the way to Chiverton Cross, that the airport public service obligation is extended and that we're really getting our fair share of flights to business destinations, that the train track is really resilient. I mean, we know the bit about the Dawlish one, but that the whole route is reliable, resilient, and that you get Wi-Fi the whole way so that business travellers, they can build the time in. We know we're not going to be suddenly in Surrey, but if we know we're in Cornwall and we can use Wi-Fi the whole way, then we can use that as part of our working day. So it's all these things. And then superfast broadband, we've made a big thing of in Cornwall over the years, just to make sure that those last 6% of the county and the Isles of Scilly is covered, so that all businesses here have got access to, you know, this common 21st century technology.
The Chamber has been doing a certain amount on export already, but you're going to really sort of move forward with this on the advice side, aren't you?
Indeed, we've long been the only organisation in Cornwall authorised to issue export documents. We've now got the UKTI contract to offer export advice, so there'll be far more joined up events, workshops, advice systems and information throughout all the counties. So look out for it. It'll be on our website, and hopefully we'll be looking at those key markets for Cornish businesses to export, whether it be for these precision manufactured goods we do so well here, or whether it be for computer games, which we're also doing so well here.
And then, of course, we're waiting for more on the EU finance to be revealed, I suppose. I mean, we know it's there, but not a lot of people understand exactly what's going on.
Quite right, they don't know. We're hoping that the money will start flowing. I mean, it was meant to be 2014 to 2020, and here we are at the beginning of 2016 without any sign of it, which has caused a huge hiatus in economic activity in Cornwall, because the public sector who administer the EU funds have been sort of laying people off and hamstrung for, well, sort of 18 months or so now.
Are we at risk of losing any of this money because it's late?
Well, there will be a reprofiling downwards because some of it was meant to have been spent in 2014 and 2015, because we haven't been able to spend any because our own central government department has been querying the rules on it. We'll probably get reprofiled downwards.
Could we lose, though?
Well, we could lose up to a quarter of what the half a billion which we were originally talking about, and that would obviously be disastrous. The other thing which I want business people to understand is that when the money does start flowing, it will still have to be spent or certainly allocated by 2020. So if you're listening and you've got any capital projects which you'd like to work up, which are part of your strategy, please do get what's called a sort of oven ready idea worked up, ready to propose to the funders when the money starts flowing, because it will need to be spent fairly quickly.
And is the Chamber going to help members on this side of things?
Well, we can certainly point you in the right direction. We haven't got the skills. It's a specialist set of skills you'd need to work up a capital project, whether it's the financial side of things or architect's drawings if it's a building. But we can certainly, with our network, which is what we're here to do, obviously put businesses in touch with each other and point you in the right direction. And that can be done fairly cost-effectively in order to get your project up and ready for funding.
And you're hoping to work more with businesses in places like North Cornwall?
To my shame, I was slightly taken aback by the fact unearthed by PFA Research in their findings, which they published in the autumn of 2015, that there are more VAT-registered 2 to 10 people businesses, which is a core market for the Chamber of Commerce, in the parliamentary constituency of North Cornwall than any other part. Now, we have good links with, obviously, the towns there. Bodmin and Weybridge are both busy commercial centres, and Bude and Launceston. But there's huge swathes of North Cornwall where there must be loads of small businesses lurking, which we haven't had a very close relationship with in the past. So we'll be working through more events, more activity, more publicity, partly driven by our new relationship with the Cornish Guardian newspaper, which covers much of that part of Cornwall, and just driving activity in that place to make sure that all those businesses there know about EU funding, know about export advice and that sort of thing, which the Chamber offers.
You also want to work with women more.
We do. I think that it's a shameful state in this country, as in some other developed countries, that women are still paid less than their male counterparts in many roles. They're not encouraged to reach for the higher echelons of management, whether it be in business or education or the public sector. And we're working with partners at an organisation called Shaping Places, with Gordon Seabright at the Eden Project, and with Zelma Hill, who's the principal of Poole Academy, to make sure that the concerns that women have in reaching for the top are put to one side, and we have equal numbers of women and men running businesses. Now, we've got a good start in Cornwall, that more than 50% of the startups in Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly last year were started by women. So hopefully they will come through, but we'd like to really push that agenda.
You've mentioned about new media partnership, moving on to the next point was about bridging the gap on education.
It's become nationally known in Britain as a gap between education and employment. And if I can sum it up briefly, it means that what schools think they're educating people in is not the same as what employers want. And if you haven't got anybody bridging that gap, you get rather curmudgeonly employers saying young people of today don't know what they're doing, and they come out with the wrong attitude or the wrong aptitude and that sort of thing. And you've got educators saying, I'm up to my neck in league tables and Ofsted reports, I haven't got time to issue the correct careers advice. So what we're trying to do is get into schools with groups of employers and actually say to young people at the time where they're considering what their future should be, what the skills it is that employers are looking for, and to try and just make them a bit more savvy about what the workplace needs.
Looking forward to 2016, the rest of it?
Largely we are. I was shell-shocked by the announcement by Tulip of putting 430 people at their Bodmin plant on notice of redundancy in the first week. That was a bad start to the year. But I'm hoping that because Cornwall isn't so subject to the global pressures, things like the Chinese slowdown in their economy don't affect us too badly here. So largely looking at people's confidence, their knowledge, their increasing sharing of best practice and expertise, I'm fairly optimistic for Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly in 2016.